This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Yesterday saw the launch of Let's Talk About Suicide, a collaboration between Support After Suicide, Switchboard and Joy. It's hosted by Hamish Blunch, who was the driving force behind the podcast. The Informer spoke to Hamish about the podcast, but before we get into this story, just a reminder. If you find the topic of suicide disturbing, we ask that you consider your mental health before listening to this part of our show. Should you need to talk to someone, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, or for an LGBT-focused service, you can also contact QLife on 1800 184 527, or go to their website, qlife.org.au.
You've created a podcast with Joy called Let's Talk About Suicide. What motivated you to talk about this topic?
Well, about 3 years ago, my ex-partner took his own life in January 2017. And at the time, you know, I Googled and searched for support, I suppose, for how to deal with that suicide bereavement. And luckily in Melbourne, there is an organization called Support After Suicide, mm-hmm. which is a part of the Jesuit Social Services. And they do have a program for people who are bereaved by suicide. They have individual counseling, and they also have group therapy sessions there. So I did attend those, but there wasn't anything really specific for LGBTIQA+ people. And also there wasn't really anything that you could do as an individual. And I had a lot of friends and family who were not in Melbourne who needed that kind of support. Mm-hmm. So I guess I thought this kind of podcast would be for somebody like them who don't have access to this amazing service in Melbourne mm-hmm. and would need that support. Or it could also be for people who are maybe reluctant to reach out and get mm-hmm. support or because of the stigma and shame around suicide. And particularly for LGBTIQ+ people, then that stigma and shame can be even greater. So they might be even more reluctant to reach out and get support.
Yeah. And so Support After Suicide is run by the Jesuits, which is a Catholic organization. Is it a safe space for LGBTIQA+ people? How much does religion play into it if you're needing help?
Yeah, I mean, I was very, a little bit apprehensive, I suppose, about reaching out to them. And also the people we talked to in the podcast, they also mentioned that they felt reluctant about reaching out to an organization that is associated with the church. But my personal experience was that it was very supportive. I didn't have any problems with my sexuality, talking to their counselors or even in the group sessions.
Yeah.
But there definitely was that apprehension there. And I should also mention that the podcast was produced in association with Support After Suicide.
Okay.
So they came on board really early to support the podcast and have been fantastic. Dr. Louise Flynn from Support After Suicide has a doctorate in philosophy specializing in suicide bereavement. So they're really perfectly placed to help us through this period of our lives mm-hmm. and this podcast.
Why is it especially important for the LGBTIQA+ community to talk about suicide?
There's a few reasons. If we think about the statistics around suicide, it's really hard to get concrete statistics around suicide deaths in the LGBTIQA+ community for a couple of reasons. And one of them is that when somebody dies, the coroner doesn't necessarily record whether they're LGBTQIA+. Mm-hmm. And that might be because the next of kin, so their parents, may not want to disclose that fact because of the shame around that, or they may not even know. So we don't have statistics around how many queer people actually suicide. But what we do know is that suicide ideation, so the thoughts of suiciding, are a lot higher in our communities. For example, LGB people over 16 years of age are 6 times more likely to have thoughts of suicide than the general population. And trans people 18 years and over are 18 times more likely to have thoughts of suicide. So we can only assume then if people in our communities are having higher thoughts of suicide, then mm-hmm. that translates to higher rates of suicide in the community.
Can you kind of talk me through the journey that a listener will go on as they go through? And is it something that you, it's really best to listen to in order, or can you sort of, is it broken up by topics?
So the podcast is a 14-part series, and it really is centered around the lived experience of four people that we interviewed who lost somebody to suicide, someone close to them to suicide, and they're Alice, Bo, Lara, and Peter. And they've been really candid and open about their experiences and what it's meant to themselves personally and how it's affected their life. So we interviewed them, we talked to them, and then we also have two experts. So Dr. Louise Flynn, who I mentioned before, from Support After Suicide, and Joe Ball from Switchboard Victoria. And so they are basically the experts in the podcast. So, for example, we play a little bit of a clip from the interviews. So somebody talks about their experience with guilt. Mm-hmm. And then Joel and Louise will then talk about that and kind of talk about it from a more theoretical perspective, but based it on their lived experience. So even though it's a 14-part episode, we release them all at once rather than trickling them out over 14 weeks, because we do think that people will see the podcast, and it's 6 hours in total, so it's actually quite a lot of content, especially the subject matter is quite intense.
Yeah.
So we did want people to have the opportunity to jump in where they needed the help. So, for example, if the 1 year anniversary is coming up for them, they can go and listen to that episode mm-hmm. straight away. If they're struggling with guilt around the death, then they can go listen to that episode. The podcast is not only for people who have lost somebody to suicide, but if you're supporting somebody who has lost somebody to suicide, so maybe you're not that close, but maybe you have somebody who is very close to this situation. Mm-hmm. There's two episodes in particular that talk about how you can support somebody who's lost somebody to suicide. So some of the things that you can do to be helpful. And we also talk about some of the things that are not so helpful when supporting somebody. And a couple of examples of that are, like, you should never really ask somebody about how the person died or the location of where they died. They're kind of the things that probably only the people very close to the person need to know. And it can be quite upsetting for somebody to be asked those questions over and over again.
Is that because they're reliving the trauma?
Exactly, yeah. They could be reliving that trauma. So when you bring that up, it replays that image in their mind. Yeah, and I think it's just very distressing to be mm-hmm. to be asked those questions all the time, because they're very personal questions and not yeah. something that somebody might want to talk about a lot. A common theme that came through is that people feel very isolated in this experience. Even though it's a relatively common experience, people do feel quite alone. And I think particularly for people who are very close in proximity to the person that died, and I don't mean geographically, I mean in terms of relationships and emotional connections, they find that people further away from them don't understand the magnitude of this event, because it does change your life fundamentally, and it changes your relationships to people, it changes how you view your work, your friends, you know, your leisure activities, everything kind of changes in an instant. So I think the fact that people feel isolated kind of surprised me, and that they sometimes found it hard to ask for help. Mm. I think maybe the other thing that people talked about a lot, which we don't talk about, is the guilt around suicide. Mm-hmm. So those questions around what could I have done to prevent this, or what maybe I didn't do to prevent this. And they're very difficult questions to come to terms with. And I think that's one of the things that people struggle with a lot when going through this. And I think people outside of this situation don't understand that mm-hmm. enough as well.
And here's a preview of one of the first episodes of Let's Talk About Suicide.
Speaking openly about suicide is something that as a society we need to become better at doing. But for many LGBTIQA+ people, grieving can be more complex because of an additional layer of both stigma and discrimination in the wider community, problems with biological families, and even from internalized shame that you might have. This is Bo, who, as heartbreaking as this sounds, felt that the loss of his partner Jeff was less than someone else's loss simply because it was a gay relationship.
I started thinking and getting really down about it, thinking that because, you know, I'm gay and I was with Jeff and it was a gay relationship, that Jeff's death wasn't as important as, say, a mother with children who had lost their husband and left their children behind. Every life is just as important as the next, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, bisexual, transgender, anything like that. Every life is precious.
This stigma can also dissuade people from approaching support services. Again, here's Beau.
I guess how I felt going into the group sessions, and I went quite a few times, but then I found after a while I didn't think that it was really helping me so much, because I remember, you know, we all went around the room, we introduced ourselves, and also, you know, the name of the person we had lost as well, and that started to go around the room, and I was sitting there, I'm going, oh dear, I'm, you know, gay, and there's all these women and straight women and stuff. I felt nervous for some reason about saying Jeff's name, because me being a gay man, and then, you know, saying my partner was also male, I didn't know how they'd receive that. But so I found that really difficult. So when it got to me, I said, "Hi, my name is Beau, and I lost my partner, you know, 6 months ago." But I didn't say name, so I thought, okay, great, I got out of that. I don't have to. But, you know, now I think, I'm like, I shouldn't have been afraid to admit that, yeah, I have lost somebody, just like you guys have, and somebody I loved very much. It just so happens that they are also males, so it's a same-sex relationship.
I know that Beau's experience is not an uncommon one.
And Joe knows this from experience, hearing lots of stories through Switchboard Victoria, an LGBTIQA+ peer-based counselling service.
It's how LGBTIQA+ people have been made to feel about our relationships through historical discrimination that we grew up with, whether in our schools, our religious organisations, or society at large, that our relationships are not as equal, and a lot of stigma over our relationships. So his opinion is quite a common one, tragically. When you lose someone, suicide included or otherwise, when you're LGBTIQA+, you go through those emotions of that it's not the same as, which I guess is discrimination turned onto yourself, societal discrimination turned onto yourself. And I think it's beautiful how he does actually say in that statement, we are the same. And I think that's really important. And I think it's something that we all have to challenge ourselves, that our relationships are exactly the same. Yes, we may have only just received marriage equality, but our grief and our relationships and our loves are the same and should be treated accordingly, whether we've been married or not. And regardless of how our friends and family see it, it's very painful for people in the LGBTIQA+ community to feel like at a moment where they're most vulnerable to be concerned about that discrimination and stigma. But I think that's still a reality for a lot of us and something we have to battle with. And unfortunately have to battle with it at a time when we're our most vulnerable.
I think too, what we heard with Beau's experience of being in the group is that sort of, as Joe said, that kind of battle, like feeling like it should be okay, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be accepted. So there's this sort of internal battle. And then I think because the stigma's internalised, there can be a sense like, what's wrong with me, rather than someone in that sort of tussle at that point can kind of lose the sense that actually this internalised stigma comes from the fact that society does discriminate and stigmatise people.
The stigma around suicide can complicate your grief. It can make it harder for you to talk about it or find someone who is empathetic to listen to you. But I would encourage you to try and find somebody to talk to. Maybe a support group, a professional counsellor, or try calling a helpline like QLife in Australia. Connecting with or building a community will not only help you and others around you with grieving, but also help keep other people safe.
You can download all 14 episodes of Let's Talk About Suicide right now from the Joy website, and we'd thoroughly recommend it.
it's a hard topic, but it's very important to talk about it. And if this conversation was disturbing for you, you can call Lifeline. They're on 13 11 14. Or for an LGBT-focused service, you can contact QLife on 1-800-184-527 or on their website, qlife.org.au. This is The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.